Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're coming to you from blogtalkradio.com, and this is ComFest Global Community Film Festival. I'm Gene Mack, and I'm going to be your host for the next 30 minutes, and I'm going to be your host on behalf of ComFest Film Festival. Most of you know about ComFest. We talk about it every time we're on the air. And basically, we're down to the final hour. By the final hour, meaning this end of the summer, we're going to have the film festival, and it's going to be from September the 12th through the 15th. It'll be at the Rainbow Cinema on Front Street. And for those of you who don't know the type of films that will be shown, ComFest is a social and cultural community-backed festival, and that's both locally and internationally, because that's where we get our material from, or that's where they get their material from. The films are sent from all over the world. We've had films as from South Africa. We've had films from the Scandinavian area, Holland, Denmark. So it's going to be another great year this year, I'm sure. I'm going to get an opportunity to start seeing some of the films as they roll in over the next month or so. And I will let you know if there's a hot one that needs to be seen or a must-see film. But tonight we're going to get started because we only have 30 minutes, and we're only doing 30 minutes for the next 3 to 4 weeks, as we've done the last 2 or 3 weeks, because of the NHL and the NBA playoffs. You know, I don't want to miss the playoffs, and I can't talk to you and watch them at the same time. So I don't mind missing the tip-offs. But I do, or the dropping of the puck, but I do mind missing the whole game. So, and nobody wants to hear me rant anyway. That's what our show is about, sports rants. And this week, we got a lot to rant about, man. And I'm going to start with the biggest rant. What happened? I'm telling you the truth, man. I really feel bad for all the Southern Ontario Leafs fans. But bad for the Leaf fans all over the country, man. The Leafs played beautifully. They grind hard every time they're on the ice, but they ran out of gas on Monday night, you know, and they played well except for the last 10 minutes of the game. I got no problems with any of the effort they put out throughout the playoffs. That's the first time they've been in the playoffs in 9 years, and they look very well as a team. And Carlisle has a good team underneath him, and let's hope in the future they learn how to close it out. And that was the only problem. They were unable to close it out. But they played well, except for you take away 10 minutes of their hockey season, and they're in the second round already. You know, but kudos go out to all the players, and I'm not going to rant on them, and there are some reasons that they didn't. Boy, if their forwards or the guys up front could go down on the ice and actually block a shot, boy, we might be in the second round already. But that's neither here nor there. They did the best they could, or the best that they could at that particular time. So my hat goes off to Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. They finally got someone in the playoffs. It doesn't look like anybody else is going to have an opportunity to get in there anytime soon, because Toronto FC, they continue to find ways to tie or lose. Winning a game is just out of the question. And the Raptors, we won't even talk about. What we will, or what I will talk about, is a segue from the Leafs' horrific loss to Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins is the, Vaughn, Richmond Hill, Vaughn King area, young man who plays down in the States. He's only 18 years old. He's still playing academy ball down in the States. But he is Canada's next great basketball player. And barring the fact that he gets hurt and his development continues to go along as it has gone along, he's going to be the next top-flight Canadian basketball player. He signed this past week with Kansas. For those of you who know anything about Kansas, you know Kansas, the state of Kansas, both Kansas State and University of Kansas have had great basketball programs for a number of years. We're talking about 40, 50 years. So it was a big signing because he is considered the top basketball player in the USA that's not playing professionally. Now, another big thing is that, I don't know, the Raptors are so adept at not winning that after he plays his 1 year, he will be eligible for the NBA draft. It would be nice. It would be stupendous. It would be completely out of sight if the Raptors were able to get Wiggins. Man, I'm telling you, that would be exciting. But that's neither here nor there. So congratulations, Mr. Wiggins, for signing on with Kansas. And the best of luck to you. And all you Kansas people out there, give me a shout out. You know, you can reach me at Comfest, COMMFEST, CommunityFilmFestival.com. You can catch up with me on Skype, or you can actually give me a phone call at 1-914-803-4283. Now, other things that happened in basketball this week was, since I talked with you, I think the night I talked with you last Wednesday, Westbrook got hurt, which definitely took OKC out of the race because Memphis, as I told you, Memphis was a dark horse that was probably better than at least two of the teams in the West that were in the playoffs, but might be the best team in the West in the playoffs. And the reason they might be the best team in the West in the playoffs is because they take no prisoners. They play tough, hard-nosed, big-time defense. They love to zone you if you got shooters, and they love to man-on-man you when you got a low-post game because they got two of the best low-post players in the NBA, in Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol. So, and they got West also. No, Indiana has West. But they got a really good low-post game. They got really good low-post defense. So Memphis looks like they're about to – they got a foot on OKC's neck already, and they look like they're going to put them out of their misery in the next game. San Antonio is having a hard time with Golden State. If Golden State wins tomorrow night, it'll be tied 3-3. But I don't know. San Antonio is a veteran team. They're playing in Golden State, and San Antonio knows how to close the door. Do I think they're going to close the door? I don't know about tomorrow night, but I do feel that San Antonio is going to walk away with the series one way or the other. Now, in the East, we got Indiana beating the hell out of the Knicks, beating them like they stole something and didn't return it. And Knicks defense has been pretty good. Offense hasn't scored enough points. I don't think they've scored over 90 but once. I don't know about Smith and Carmelo and Felton. And you know, the other guys aren't supposed to be scorers. They're supposed to be chipping in. But the bottom line is, I think Stoudemire's career is just about over. He was always a fancy big man and not a grit and tough and hard work big man. So they got too many fancy guys in New York, and Stoudemire isn't helping them at all. So I don't know if they're going to try to trade him. One thing I do know is that that's the old NBA, the shooters and the 110-20-point game. The new NBA, they play tough defense, they play down low positioning, and they out-rebound you, which Indiana is doing to the Knicks every game, it seems to be. Indiana is just more powerful and just more attuned to getting the job done. So I think the Knicks are out and Indiana is in, which I predicted on that one also. And Miami and Chicago. Chicago played a good game one, and I don't know if they got enough mustard to take any more. The way it's going right now, Miami should take it in six, minimum. Might even take it in five. It all depends on how Chicago answers the next bell. But we shall see. The NBA should probably end up San Antonio playing Memphis for the Western Division crown and for the Eastern Division crown, Miami versus Indiana. We've had some awards given out already. George Karl, who coached Denver to one of their better seasons in the last, 7 or 8 years, won the Coach of the Year, and he's to be congratulated for that. Do you realize George Karl has had 20, I repeat, 20 consecutive winning seasons? The Raptors haven't had a winning season in 12 years. Something to think about, huh? And we keep going out and getting players, and you know, I've had my feel of players that have been selected and chosen by Colangelo. I don't think he's brought us anybody. Although I do like the young kid who is playing with them now, the center they got from the Europe. He's a nice young ball player. Is he what the Raptors need to get over the top? Him alone? No. No way, no how, no time, no place. But if you look at all the selections that Colangelo has made over the years, none of them are actually giant killers. And we have had some number one lottery picks. Bonyani was a number one lottery pick. And I still ain't figured that out. You know, we had a chance to draft the big man from Indiana who came out of Georgetown. We drafted him and traded him. Now he's about to go into the NBA Eastern Championship. You know, Eastern Conference Championship. So go figure. You know, I don't know. I don't like what he's done, Colangelo, but I will give him the benefit of the doubt, and which I've done over a 7 or 8 year period. And we have not improved at all. We're still playing lackluster basketball on both ends of the court. I don't know what his draft choices have been designed to do, but I know what his draft choices have done. Little or nothing. And that goes for DeRozan and the rest of them, Ross and the rest of them. You know, they're all usable NBA players. But you can honestly understand that if you look at all the players drafted ahead of them, or some drafted behind them, have turned to NBA stars. You know, you would think we'd get lucky and get an NBA star, because we had an NBA star. Chris Bosh was an NBA star. And before that, Carter was an NBA star. So I don't know what we got to do to get better. I do know everybody that's presently there has been given their chance. So let's mix it up a little bit, change it around. And then we'll see what we'll do, be able to do at the next draft, but I don't know if we should allow the present general manager to have the next draft. One good thing is we've got the guy coming in from Los Angeles, and he is definitely Lewicki. He's going to be the president, and I don't know if he's going to decide what he wants to do with Colangelo. But Colangelo is from a family of basketball people. His father ran the Phoenix Suns for a number of years and made some really good moves. And not that Colangelo is the worst general manager in the league, but he's been the general manager of one of the worst teams in the league. So you go figure. You tell me what it's all about. You know? So that's my rant on that. You know, it's time to move along and open a new can of peaches. Because that one didn't taste good, taste well. It didn't go down. Another thing I want to talk to you about, and I'm going to give you a couple of minutes of it. Did anyone see baseball highlights this week in baseball? There was an umpire by the name of Angel Hernandez, and he missed a call so bad that you would wonder if this guy is cheating. You would wonder if this guy is being fair and honest with the game. How can you miss a call? Let me set this up. Oakland has a batter up to the plate. He hits a ball to left field. It's high enough, it's deep enough, it goes out, it hits the railing behind the fence, maybe 2 or 3 feet, and falls back into the field of play. He called it a ground rule double. They go to instant replay. Do you know baseball has instant replay? They go to instant replay, and clearly on instant replay, it shows it's a home run. He trots back out there and calls it again a ground rule double. Everybody went crazy. And this guy did that same kind of thing last year, and he was a World Series umpire. How can you miss a call that's on instant replay and you have the opportunity to review it? This is akin to, you know, they want to kick players out and put them on suspension for hitting people and throwing at people and for cursing fans. How do you take the integrity of the game so low that you don't do something to this guy? What is it doing in his hands anyway? Why can't there be a group of officials at some designated location, much like in hockey, to make the final call? Or why can't it be an off-the-field referee or umpire like it is in football? And that is a segue to one of the questions I got this week, because a lot of people saw this and they asked me, who are the worst officials in professional sports? Is it the NFL? Is it the CFL? Is it the NHL? Is it the NBA? Or is it Major League Baseball? Well, in my opinion, Major League Baseball has the worst officials, and it has the least effective plan to make calls more apparent by using instant replay all the time, or in cases where the game is on the line. And they have to go into a session, a summit, to decide what is required or what situations are deemed game-changing to determine when you're going to use it. But they have at their access in this day and age the opportunity and ability to see almost 95% of the games are filmed at various areas and locations where you can get a true and competent and fair and right assessment of exactly what happened on the play. But once you do get one, please call it right then. Don't send Angel at us again. If you keep Angel out there, all you're doing is taking the integrity of the game in your own hands. And that's not a good thing, Mr. Seeley. Or should we call you Bud? Now, the only other league that I have questions about is the NBA. Because the NBA found an official that was betting on the games. They said he never bet on his own games that he was calling, but he was betting on the games. Now, if you believe that, then God bless you. And he is still in the league. It makes you wonder, what is going on? I don't honestly believe that there are people who are manipulating the games or changing them. But I do know this. If there are, they'll never get caught because there are no penalties for making bad calls. We've had no hitters call back because of bad calls. We've had game-winning runs score because of bad calls when the inning should have been over. We've had fans interfere in World Series competition. Clearly, interference calls. Nothing's done about it. Until the Major League Baseball and their organization get together and decide they're going to police their own game, fans will always wonder, is this rigged or what? How can a call like that in today's modern age of visibility so far as films and replays being able to capture all the action and find out what really happened, when we're not using that, we're not using that because we don't want to use that. We don't want to use that because we don't want to get it right. Or we don't care to get it right. And then they come up with the integrity of the game. The integrity of the game is taking a big beating every day. And every night they come out with these bad calls. So what are you going to do about it, Mr. Seeley? What are you going to do about it, Major League Baseball? You know, if somebody has a hissy fit and goes out there and beats the crap out of one of them umpires, maybe they'll think about doing something about it after they put the player on suspension for about 2 seasons. Then they can police the players. They can't do nothing about the umpires. Oh. So between the Major League Baseball and the NBA officials, I think they're some of the worst. But so far as the NHL is concerned, teach these guys how to drop the damn puck so we won't have to be here all night. Please. As Don Cherry say, until they straighten that out, the game is not running at its optimum. And the game should be running at its optimum. So that's another rant I'll let go. Where did they find Angel Hernandez? He will go out in infamy as having the worst call I have ever seen in 50 years of watching baseball on television. The very worst. Now, what else is going on? Let's get to some hockey, man. We got so many things. Do you know this past week they named the contestants or the possible recipients of the Hart Trophy, well, the MVP trophy, not the Hart. And that's Tavares, Ovechkin, and Crosby, and who knows who will win it. They today announced the Lou Marsh and Masterton nominees, and there's three around the league. Bergeron was one for the Lou Marsh, and that's a top offensive defense, top defensive forward. You know, the guy who actually stops the puck from going into his net. So we'll see who will be winning these trophies, but winners won't be announced for another week or so. And now we're going to go to, but before we do, because we don't have much time, and that rant on baseball just took so much time, but we're coming to you from blogtalkradio.com, and we're coming to you on behalf of ComFest, Community Film Festival, Global Community Film Festival, and we're here to tell you that September 12th through the 15th, the film festival will be on and running in the St. Louis Market area, and we want everybody down here to see that. It'll be at the Rainbow Cinema, and most people who live in the neighborhood know the Rainbow Cinema, but there are Rainbow Cinemas all over the community of Toronto. This one is down at Front Street, front between Jarvis and Church, and we hope you get down there to see some of the films between the 12th and 15th of September. It's going to be a great time. Everything will be up and running, and the whole community. Most of you who come down to our community know we've had everything from pancake breakfast eating things in our community. Our community has a lot of events in the summertime. And you are listening to ComFest Radio, and it's brought to you by ComFest Global Community Film Festival. Thank you. All right, we're going to move on, but because we got about 5 minutes left, and we're going to talk about the playoffs going on right now. Detroit will be playing Chicago. Detroit did a really good job in making it to the second round. You know, most people didn't think they had the capabilities to do it, but they did. You know, they barely make the playoffs, and now they're in the second round. Ottawa is playing Pittsburgh. They played them now last night, and they looked like they were tired, and Pittsburgh didn't look too much better, but Pittsburgh's got a lot more firepower than Ottawa, and they took a 4-1 decision. San Jose lost to the Kings last night, and Boston is going to play New York tomorrow. Now, I figure when all the dust settles, it's going to be Chicago playing L.A. for the Western Conference Championship, and it's going to be Pittsburgh playing, and I'm out on a limb here, Pittsburgh playing New York for the East. I got a feeling that New York is ready to break out and make a run for the Cup. Now, add that to the fact that if you've been watching the games and you look at it, Boston's back line, blue line, is completely ravaged, you know, and they had a bunch of young kids out there against the Leafs. So if New York actually steps up and really wants to play, and Nash figures out which way is east and which way is west, but which way is north and which way is south, and get his finger out of one of his orifices, we will be fine in New York. So I'm taking New York and Pittsburgh to play each other in the east, and I'm taking Chicago and L.A. to play each other in the west. Now, I could be completely wrong, but I haven't missed one yet so far this season. And congratulations go out to Sir Alex Ferguson. And if you don't know who Sir Alex Ferguson is, he's been the man since the mid-80s at Man U. He's retiring, and after 27 years at Man U, and the job is going to be taken over by one of his proteges from Glasgow, a young man by the name of Moyes. And he's a pretty good coach, too, but my hat goes off to Sir Alex Ferguson. He was a great man. He did things, and he did a lot for football when football was not a North American game and was invisible. I've since become a fan of Man U, Real Madrid, Milan, Manchester, Chelsea, all of those storied teams. So congratulations to one of the men that put it on the map. You guys have a good evening, and I'll hope to see you next week. And I'll find something else to rant about. I didn't answer any of the questions I had, and I had five or six questions, and it's all due to the fact that Angel Hernandez upset me. And if he upset me like this again, I'm going to call for his resignation. Good night.